dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Heidi's sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Missouri, Tennessee, at Lindsey Nelson tonight, and you have Alabama at Ole Miss. Also tonight, first of three, Boston College, Virginia, Oklahoma State, BYU, or just some of them that are showing up here. I'm on DraftKings here, so I'm certainly leaving some out. I'm just giving you the list that they've got this morning. Let's go to Colioka, and my favorite police officer ever, not named Danny in New York City. RD, what's up, sir?
Good morning, Mr. King. How you doing?
Doing good.
Listen, concerning the Tennessee Walking Horse, yeah, I absolutely recall watching that beautiful creature prance around the field. But I have a question, and I suspect someone in the audience will have an answer. Seems to me, I could be mistaken, that somewhere along the line, the agency that protects against the cruelty to animals put some heat on Tennessee for using that horse due to they, and I suspect many others, feel that that it's the cruel treatment it takes to train those horses to perform as they do. Do you recall anything like that?
Yeah, it ended because of something like that, and it's come up a couple times. Now, Kevin in Muletown says they still do it at homecoming. But they used to do it every home game, right?
As far as I remember, ever back in the day, absolutely, when Tennessee would rarely be on TV, you'd always see that beautiful creature strutting around the field. Absolutely. So I don't know.
I thought it was cool. Now, being, you know, in the 70s growing up there, I didn't quite understand it, so I probably didn't appreciate it. But looking back on it, I do.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, down here where I live, of course, Marshall County is my neighboring county, and I'm 15 minutes from Lewisburg, but
right.
Driving all through the rural section of Marshall County, you come up on walking horse farms. So, yeah, that is the capital down here, as is Columbia, the capital, fuel capital of the world. I'm sure you're aware of that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll listen, and maybe one of the listeners, your listeners are like an encyclopedia. Maybe one of them will call in who will give us answers to that. Good to talk to you, bud.
Appreciate it, man.
Bye.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Yeah, I don't remember the exact story on how it ended, etc., but I just remember as a kid watching that. And it was, I didn't know any different. But it was discontinued in the name of safety for the horses, at least in that capacity. Says, and this is what Kevin in Muletown was talking about, walking horse continues to appear at football games upon occasions such as homecoming, and that's what he was talking about. Frankly, I don't remember, but I'm not there hardly ever, so maybe I wouldn't see it because I'm watching TV. Major moves over in West, by God, Virginia. Bill, doesn't look like the Vols will have many players picked in this draft. What does that say about Josh Heupel winning 8-10 games now, as well as Milton being a prospect with evidently not a ton of NFL talent around him? Yeah, they, on this last team, the 23 team, there's really not many prospects. Now, I'm talking about eligible. James Pierce, if he could come out, would be one of the first defensive players taken high in the first round. But he's just a rising junior. He can't come out, but he's a, they're drooling over him. And Nico, when we get another year past this year, they're going to be drooling over him. They already are. But let me think about that. Yeah, first of all, let's start with the secondary. You would not want anybody in that secondary. And none of them from a year ago are in essence back. Linebacker play from a year ago, no. Herring is in the portal. He has no instincts. But they do feel good about the Telander kid and the way he came on this spring. He's a young linebacker out of Georgia, the Peely transfer. He probably would have been an impact player, but he was injured. But they expect him back, and they've recruited well there. And Arian Carter, healthy, out of the Smyrna area. They think he's a player. So they have talent there. Their defensive line will have a multitude of guys drafted. Now, various rounds, etc. But, and I just mentioned James Pierce, but they are deep and they have lots of defensive linemen. They are crazy deep there. Now, maybe not first rounders all the way through, but they're going to have a bunch of guys up that on that defensive line. The offensive line, nothing. I think Lance Hurd, the transfer, will eventually be a high pick, maybe a first or second rounder. Mays at center, I think, is going to get drafted. Probably late rounds, but he's a good player. I don't know if anybody else you could point to there right now. Receivers, there's some attractiveness there. There's some attractiveness at running back. It's gotten better, but you are right. From this last group, there's not a whole lot to pick from if you're talking about the Sunday game and you're talking about guys that are draft eligible. Not overall roster and prospects and all that, but guys that can come out and be in the draft. It's not real attractive. Hadn't thought about it because I don't really care about the draft much, but tell you what, Brad says if you know what you're doing, the draft is a event where you can do quite well. It's gotten a lot sharper, but he was talking about it, and you might have been listening a while back where he had a friend. This is around 2020, 2021, who sat there and bet the draft and made six figures doing it. Just that event, that maybe that first round night, I don't know, but just absolutely killed it. Absolutely killed it. Ken in Middle Georgia. Bill, I'm not going to ask you who are the best players in round one of the NFL draft tonight, wink, wink, but if you had to pick a fantasy football team offense, which draft-eligible players would you pick? Well, first of all, I think that we're having a gross overreaction to the quarterback group. Let's just begin there. If you ask me my favorite quarterback of those, it'd be Jaden Daniels. Now, I was talking to Patton about it. The one worry I have about him is he's 6'3", so that's fine. That's solid height. I would worry about his durability. Very athletic. Very athletic. I do not understand the bloviating over J.J. McCarthy. I love him as a player at Michigan and what he's accomplished. Would not debate you on that at all. We're talking about what happens on Sundays. I don't see anything particularly, what would be the word, with J.J. McCarthy, inspiring about his talent level. Now, again, I'm using this as a, will be an impact guy, will be a quarterback that's coveted once he gets in that league. When he's a free agent, there are going to be people going, oh, we're going to spend money here. I don't buy that. I don't necessarily see that. I'm not a Caleb Williams fan as it applies to being the top pick. Drake May I like reasonably well. I love Joe Alt. I just love Joe Alt. I would think him or the kid from Penn State, but probably Alt, the top offensive lineman off the board fairly early. Patton, what are they saying? Alt won't make it to the Titans, will he?
The Titans is probably his floor. A lot of people have Alt going there.
Oh, so you think he may last?
I think so. The Chargers and the Giants are looking wide receiver.
Yeah. That one's going to be – I love him, though. Yeah, I love him. But I don't – guys, I don't pay a lot of attention. I'm gonna reveal something. I'd forgotten the draft is tonight. It's just – I'm just not an NFL guy. However it applies to that game, my brain will not go there. It's not something I force. It's just I don't find it enjoyable. Kevin in Muletown said, "Bill, you had me at mules. Please have a mule expert on every week like you have Coach Pete. I know your listeners would just love it." Well, you'd have to, Kevin, you'd have to tell me who that is. I don't know if I know a mule expert. Today on the show, here's the guest list for Friday. Coach P to be with us at the Omni. Ole Miss Evie checks in. Kevin Hagan will not be on. Brad in hour three, but in Kevin Hagan's spot, we will go to a mule expert. 20 past hour two. On the Friday edition from the Omni. Matter of fact, this guy's so good, he's going to come down to the Omni from Mule Town and talk about mules. I tell you what, if they eventually go to this psychobabble 100 team, 10 per league, whatever the hell that is, that article, we may be talking about mules solely on this show. The format might abruptly change. Maybe the, Kevin, you probably have connections there. Maybe the City of Columbia will sponsor that. Now send them an invoice, see what they say. J.C. Sherbert, TheBigSpur.com, by golly, when we come back.
Good morning. They're removing a wreck at the South Loop a few minutes ago on 40 westbound right at the 65 split. That's before you get to Demumbrium and Broadway on 40 going westbound. Still some volume right now coming in from Kingston Springs there on 40 east as that traffic leaves Dixon County headed towards Nashville. Traffic still heavy at time 65 southbound over here at Trinity Lane. Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a new menu. You can order online today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouthwatering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale, where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big beefy burgers, and so much more. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor and endless value. Every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale today. And don't forget to use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Hurry, because this deal won't last long. Kickstart your spring grilling today. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my entire family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Bill King show.
Interestingly enough, Jerry Curtis, Adam, I'm sure you saw this, over the past week has committed to Georgia. And depending on the recruiting service, he's either the top-ranked quarterback in his class, and in one of the services, they've got him ranked the top overall player regardless of position.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Do you like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
Jesse Sherbert. From TheVicksburg.com, checks in. We talk to him every Thursday right here in this slot. JC is South Carolina producing anybody here for the draft that's interesting? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there's a couple. I think they'll probably end up with three, maybe four through all seven rounds. But Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver, kind of came out of nowhere last year. He's a freak. Freak, Bill. He's a big old 220-pounder that runs 4.5. Good hands. Really, after they lost Juice Wells, he became the most of the offense this past year. And there's some projections that have him sneaking into like the Chiefs with the last pick of the first round. But he's kind of clustered up in there with Ricky Pearsall and Ladd McConkey when you're talking about wide receivers in the draft. I guess one of those three will probably sneak into the first, and the other two will be high in the second. And then, of course, there's Spencer Rattler. Spencer will be the first South Carolina quarterback drafted since 1990. Think about that. That's crazy. And that was Todd Ellis, and he went in the last round of the Broncos when there were 12 rounds in the draft. So he will probably go third round, maybe second. That's kind of he's one of the more intriguing stories in the draft nationally as well. So that's those are the two, and then Marcellus Dial, a corner, and Trey Knox, a tight end that transferred in from Arkansas. They have a chance to go in the late round. But that's, most of South Carolina's really good players are coming back, with the exception of those four. So good news for next year, but certainly won't be one of the bigger drafts in Gamecock history.
No, wait a minute. Steve Tannehill didn't get drafted?
No. Tannehill and Anthony Wright started a bunch of games through his career, but was undrafted. And Connor Shaw started two or three. I think he started for the Bears once and the Browns once, but he was not drafted either. So, yeah, this would be the first South Carolina quarterback to get drafted. I mean, they've just, Ellis had an ACL. Jake Bentley would probably have been drafted at least in the later rounds and broke his foot and transferred twice. And
it's been interesting to follow that position at South Carolina through the years, because there are some good quarterbacks, good known quarterbacks that have played there.
Connor Shaw was just a tough dude, man. If you wanted to describe him, he was just, man, that guy ate nails for breakfast, I think.
Yeah, Will Muschamp, you know, he was at Florida when Shaw was at South Carolina. He's like, I never knew how big he was, never knew how fast he was, but he would just make play after play after play.
And I know.
He was with his legs, he was a great eraser. You know, and he was actually faster. He ran about 4.4. Nobody talked about that because he didn't look.
Yeah.
When he ran, he kind of had a weird look to him. But he was actually really fast, and he, you know, who'd have known that Steve Spurrier would have won all those games with a quarterback like that? You know, it's crazy.
I would think I've not kept up with his life story, but I would think that guy would be a football coach. I would think maybe he's not interested.
No, he comes from a family of coaches.
Right.
His dad, his dad Lee. I mean, I've known Connor since he was six. I worked at the Gainesville Times in Gainesville, Georgia, right before I came to work with you guys at Rivals. I was a sports editor, and Flowery Branch High School had just been built. Lee Shaw coached a freshman and sophomore team at the varsity level. They lost every game. And Connor and J-Bo were little. Well, then he built that in the state championship. He went to Rabun County, which, you know, it's hard to win at, and won there. And then I think he's at another school now winning. And then his brother J-Bo is a successful high school coach in Georgia as well. I was told by a staff member that Connor Shaw could have stepped in and been the offensive coordinator at South Carolina, and it would have improved what they were doing when Marcus Satterfield was there quite a bit. So he's that smart and that talented. I think, like you said, that I think that coaching, you know, he had such a great career and he's beloved. Coaching, especially someplace like his alma mater, I think there's a special kind of pressure that comes, and some people just you know, he faced all the pressure I think he wanted to face when he was playing and handled it well. So I think Connor wants to be Connor and not Coach Connor.
Noah Kev up in Chicago says this is not college football related, but asked JC if he heard that former Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren is trying to sell the people of Chicago on a $4.4 billion new stadium for the Bears.
Yeah, I've read all about it. It's one of those things that it's too good to be true. knowing Chicago and how things work, I mean, the mayor's behind it, but then you have the state of Illinois that doesn't really want to do it. And there's tax money that has to be involved. The Bears are putting up quite a bit. The thing to watch is where Soldier Field is built. I didn't know this until I moved up here. It's on like a park, like a city park, like a museum ground. And there's this group called the Friends of the Museum, and they hate the Bears being there. They don't want the Bears anywhere near there. They wanted them to move to Arlington Heights. They're so, like, weird. They George Lucas was going to build a Star Wars museum there, and they fought it, and turned it down. So, you know, with what they're looking to do, you have to think that group's probably not going to be happy. And so they're going to fight it. And so I don't know if it'll come about. If it does, it's a beautiful design stadium with a dome right there on the lakefront. And, you know, Chicago would be in position to host Final Fours and Super Bowls and things of that nature. Like, you know, you have to have that cover if you're a cold weather destination, kind of like Minneapolis or Indy or a place like that. Big Ten championship game could come here, which would be logical because the headquarters are here. But there's a long way to go, and they still have spent $137 million buying this racetrack, a horse racing track out in the suburbs in Arlington Heights as a fallback plan. So I don't know that this isn't maybe some kind of negotiation ploy to get the Arlington Heights people to come down off their tax assessment or not. But Kevin Warren got it done. That's the only thing he's done that's impressed me is build that stadium in Minnesota. He certainly was a horrible Big Ten commissioner. Anytime somebody tries to unilaterally cancel college football, I'm not a fan. But if he can get this done for this town, that would be great. And probably would make him leave me respect the work he does a little more.
There's a guy who used to always tweet the show who ran the aquarium / museum, whatever it is, right there on the water, right there by the park on the water, mm-hmm. not far from Soldier Field. And I think he got moved to New York. but I can't remember the guy's name, but he would always call us from right there.
Ha, that's in the summertime,
right?
That's a beautiful spot, man.
I know.
It's about 78, and the wind's blowing off the lake, and not a cloud in the sky. I mean, it's a
Grant Park.
It doesn't last very long, Bill, but it's beautiful when it does.
Anybody remember Married with Children? In the very beginning credits, they have the waterfall or whatever that is in the park. That's Grant Park. That's Chicago right there.
Oh, no. Ironically, you say that because the first time I went down there with my now wife, I looked at that fountain and I was like, I got this sense of deja vu. I was like, where have I seen this before? I did love and marriage, love, you know?
Right.
So it was, it's amazing you said that because that's kind of part of when I tell people about downtown Chicago. That's what I always bring that up.
Kirkland in Macon, Georgia wants to know, JC, is Spencer Rattler a potential starting quarterback, NFL?
I think so. I think this, nobody's talking about this, and, you know, it's you have to kind of look at things through the lens of competition. I don't think we always do that. And, yeah, Patrick Mahomes played against Big 12 defenses, and he's a superstar, and I get it. But Spencer Rattler has faced, like, more – like if he starts next year for a team, that means somebody's plans went a little bit askew. And me, i.e., that team's not very good or they've had an injury. He's more qualified to go in there and do that than maybe some of these other guys like Bo Nix. You know, obviously when he was facing Pac-12 defenses, his stats got a lot better than when he was at Auburn because he's been in the SEC behind a terrible offensive line, had to manufacture things, had to make decisions quicker than anybody else, and still put up numbers with limited amount of receivers and things like that. So, you know, you could see him. Let's say the Falcons drafted him because – you got Kirk Cousins there, and you know, let's say Kirk yet again gets hurt. And he has to go in with that group in Atlanta. Well, that's a better supporting cast than he had at Carolina by a mile. You can protect him. He could read a defense. I mean, he learned how to do that at South Carolina, which I think makes him more valuable than at Oklahoma during a year where he had five-star receivers all over the field. Bill, that year nobody played defense in 2020 at all.
Right.
And he was just throwing bombs away against – you know, unmotivated defenders. I think that this time at South Carolina individually helped him become a better quarterback.
It's been an interesting career. Big name, five-star recruit. Started off well at Oklahoma. In golf terms, looked like he got the yips somewhere at Oklahoma. Something happened. I don't know if he was poorly coached, but he just lost all confidence. And then started afresh at South Carolina, and frankly, there for a while, JC, I didn't believe he was getting much done there, and then he turned it on.
Yeah, it was crazy. And a lot of that had to do with the system that they tried to kind of force him into. They simplified that thing before they played Tennessee. If you want to know why they exploded against Tennessee, it's because they just eliminated the 80-play play sheet and put 12 and just started firing them in real quick.
Right.
And he was better suited to do that. And then he had a good year this year. It wasn't his fault that things happened. I mean, he had 12 injuries on the offensive line. Juice Wells didn't play, et cetera. And so, yeah, he kind of turned it back on. And I think that adversity he faced versus a guy that – because you're going to face adversity in the NFL. It's inevitable. versus a guy that maybe hasn't. You know, I think him being, you know, going through that journey, going through the wilderness a little bit helps him, you know, be prepared for the challenge that's the NFL, which is a mighty challenge. So I think that actually the silver lining in the Gamecocks struggling through the years when he was there was probably that it made him a better individual player.
I have not looked this morning, but I want to get your thoughts on Georgia entertaining and apparently wanting Jaden Rashada.
Well, he's a good player. You know, I know that there won't be $8 million worth of NIL money coming from Georgia for it. if we want to go back to that story, but you know, I think it's a good move. I know Mike Bobo, and I got a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Right.
And you know, I think Mike does things his own way. Mike Bobo would probably look at three or four, five star quarterbacks and probably not be fired up about two of them. I mean, he's just that kind of evaluator. So yeah. I would say if I'm a Georgia fan, if he wants them, then go for it. You know, I mean, if you look, you know, how do they feel about Gunnar Stockton? You know, is Gunnar Stockton the heir apparent, or do you want to get him some competition? I know they got Ryan Montgomery recently, but he's a guy that's going to have to develop for a couple of years to be the starter there and beat out the guys on campus. So, you know, I'm all for it. Well, you know, whatever they think, I think Georgia is a place that's right now, you can honestly say, is founded on competition. Competition makes that program better, makes it great. And so any kind of competition you can have is good. Now, do I think Rashad is going to go in there and beat out Gunnar Stockton? My feeling would be no, based on what I've seen from both. I don't know that that would be the best choice for him. But I think if you're Georgia, absolutely. You know, you take him and throw him into the mix and see what happens.
JC, isn't Brandon Streeter the conduit there? Wasn't he the one recruiting him to Clemson?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
And he's an excellent recruiter. I mean, Brandon kind of got a raw deal a little bit at Clemson, which surprised me because Dabo normally sticks with his guys, and he's a Clemson guy. But, you know, I don't think we've heard the last of Brandon Streeter in college football, maybe, you know, if you think about it. So I do think there's something there.
That'll be interesting. Now, JC, if he gets in there, he knows he's going to win, or he's going to be part of a winning program, probably national championship type team, right? I don't think anybody stacks him up better than Georgia does right now. But if he doesn't get the job, he's going to with the rules now, unlimited transfers, provided you pass some kind of silly academic requirement, which I imagine is not much. He'll have to leave again.
Yeah, and that's the world we live in too. Yep. And I think you're going to see that happen at big programs. I mean, almost like, I mean, I think you'll see sometimes 3, 4, 5 guys at quarterback at a program in the spring, and then you get a summer and half of them are gone or more, just because it why not? I mean, there's no downside. The upside is you're starting quarterback at Georgia and contending for a national championship. The downside is, well, you just go to another program that has a need that would gladly take you because all the quarterbacks they were recruiting went to Georgia. and you just go there. I mean, there's no motivation to kind of lock in on a spot with an open spot like there used to be where it was. And I'm curious to see if this impacts the domino effect we see in quarterback recruiting. Will you see more guys go to one school?
JC, appreciate it, man. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Y'all have a good one.
Mr. JC Sherber. Very good. Every time, nails it. Omni Nashville Hotel tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Still on the scene of this wreck with injuries, 39th Avenue at Alamein Street. Again, that's in the Nations. That's got traffic tied up pretty good. 65 southbound there at Rosa Parks. They're trying to clear up that crash. There's still some volume coming in on 65 northbound up from Brentwood, Williamson County in and through South Nashville. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out at tomahawkcrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchise or SPV LLC.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I'd love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. Package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's starleasing.com to learn more.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch. Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tomorrow night, it's a big interleague matchup at Truist Park in Atlanta as Austin Riley and the Braves take on the Cleveland Guardians.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6:05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Pac-12 Dave down on the Emerald Coast. We see him down there at commitment, says Bill. That married with children reference, you pulled that one out of your... I've mentioned that many times on the show. You just might not have been listening at the time, but we, when we would go to the Big Ten meetings in July, the football media days, some years we'd stay at the McCormick Place, and I think it was a Hyatt, but I don't remember most years. But a couple of years, we were basically almost right across the street from the lake, and I could see Grant Park. Walk out the hotel main entrance, and you could absolutely just look down the way and see Grant Park. So I would jog through there. And all down around the lake, I'd jog up and down through there. JC lives there, but in July, you cannot beat the weather. It's like San Diego weather. I know that's kind of a weird comparison, but it is windy, Windy City. But I'd say the high is about 78. It is just exquisite. Now, Chicago's got all kinds of problems, but just as far as the summer and the weather, and that was probably, of all the media days that I've done through the years, a million of them probably, it seems like, that's probably my favorite destination to work it and just to be there. That was, I don't think I'd enjoy it today, but that was, I look forward to that. Great time. There was a guy that had a restaurant there. We had a lot of people up there that knew us, and they would say, hey, we'd love for you to come by and eat here. We want you to just enjoy. We'd come by and eat, have a blast. And what did they call that? The Rocket something. And he was a big Michigan fan, huge Michigan fan, owned it. Big Michigan fan guy. But, no, good memories there, y'all. Jim and Jupiter said, Bill, you do have a mule expert. It's Yipsy Terry. Have him tell the story about when he went to Mule Town back in the 70s. Yes. That right there is a moment that will go down in infamy. This is around 06, 05. We're doing the show on Sirius. And I get a letter. Yeah, it's a written letter on notebook paper from Yipsy Terry explaining how he and his brother, sometime in the 70s, drove from Defiance, Ohio, his hometown, to Columbia, Tennessee, Mule Town, to buy a mule and take it back to their farm. They get down there, and they end up separating. His brother goes one way. Terry goes to some bar. Don't know which one. Ends up in there meeting some hot blondie or something. And how, since you may have kids in the car, they end up having friendly relations. See, that way I got, I didn't, nobody got their feelings hurt there. Yeah, they end up becoming friends for the moment. Ends up that she is the wife of, I guess, a very prominent preacher up there. I have no idea which church and who and what. And then as I read more into the letter, and it's, God, why did I ever throw that away? I so regret that. That's one for the Hall of Fame. That's one for the Hall of Fame. Ends up that the lady's daughter, meaning the preacher's daughter, also became friends. Is it okay to say what I just... Yeah, I think we're okay there. And the story, I can't... Look, you'll just have to guess the rest, but... And written by Yipsy Terry, who's inherently comical anyways. Big Ohio State fan. And it was just, I'm serious. That's one of those that if I had the letter right now and I read it, even though I've seen it many times, but it, let's just say I had the real letter in my hand, I'd probably laugh to the point of tears like I'd never read it before. It was that funny. And then I guess they regrouped the next day, he and his brother, and got the mule and went back home. So Yipsy Terry went in there where Mule Town Kevin is from and had some fun. I think we can say that. Yeah, I think we're okay saying that. I have no idea who the dude is or anything. Michael in Atlanta says, Bill mentioned to JC that when he was on, Steven Garcia was a hell of a quarterback in 2010. That performance against Bama was a top-notch performance. Yeah, Steven Garcia contacted me a few years ago and came on the show a couple of times. Steven is known as a guy, and God bless him, who's not real reliable. I think everybody in South Carolina knew that, too. He's from Tampa. And we'd have him on the show, and he would tell funny Spurrier jokes and funny times when he was quarterbacking in South Carolina. And then he started no-showing. We'd have him scheduled. I get it confirmed, and he'd just be nowhere to be found. After about two or three of those, we haven't talked to him since. But, no, I liked him. I like Steven Garcia. It's just... I think he's got a little Johnny Manziel in him, if you know what I mean.
Good morning. Still on the scene of this wreck with injuries, 39th Avenue at Alameen Street. Again, that's in the Nations. That's got traffic tied up pretty good. 65 southbound there at Rosa Parks. They're trying to clear up that crash. There's still some volume coming in on 65 northbound up from Brentwood, Williamson County, in and through South Nashville. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out at tomahawkcrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/hands-only CPR and become a lifesaver today.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she acts like she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I'm so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
And now, Veterans Restoration is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Veterans Restoration, serving Middle Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. For residential or commercial, fire, water, or storm damage restoration, give the pros a call today at 615-838-8407. 615-838-8407. That's Veterans Restoration. They're professionals who care.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
All this has been great so far for Rand Carthon. Like, this offseason has been a really good offseason for the Titans. I mean, they really have knocked it out of the park here in the last week, right? I mean, Calvin Ridley, this trade, obviously landing Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Everything that they've done really has been really good.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Yeah, Michael in Atlanta brought up Steven Garcia. I'm a fan of his. He's just, and I don't think he's changed any. He is a, how would you describe him? He's a free spirit. Okay. He's kind of a renegade. He's kind of a nonconformist. He's a nice guy. Heck of a talent, if he wanted to be. Heck of a talent when he wanted to be, as you witnessed. 2010, very good season. Got to the SEC championship game. Won double digits. Played a peaking Cam Newton-Auburn team. And got beat bad. But Spurrier tells, and I can't make it as funny as Spurrier, but Spurrier tells a story. Every time Steven Garcia would get in trouble at South Carolina and they had to meet with him, he would show up with his haircut. Steven Garcia liked his hair long, and hey, who cares, right? Well, Spurrier cares some. Spurrier is a really interesting coach. Number one, he's a hellacious coach, but his whole mannerism or his ideas are so interesting. Spurrier is both old school and new school. he's new school, and that when the SEC tried to tell everybody quit celebrating and we don't want anybody after a sack or a touchdown, Spurrier railed against that. Roy Kramer didn't give a damn how tough Roy Kramer was and how much of an iron fist commissioner he was. He said, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let the guys have fun. So he's new school, but he's also old school in some areas. Got to remember, Spurrier was raised by a preacher. His dad's a lifetime preacher. Was preaching down in South Florida, and then they got moved to East Tennessee. And very strict upbringing. So there's some old school in there, too. Anyways, he said every time Garcia would get in trouble and he'd have to come to the office to take his scolding, he would show up with his haircut, and he'd be wearing something really proper like khakis and a button-down, which is not at all the way he kept his real life. Long hair, kind of sloppy, wasn't going to be told what to do. And you know what? That's kind of funny. I mean, but Spurrier just, it was so funny to hear the way he would describe it. Every time he'd get in trouble, he would go get his hair cut and look all perfect and well-kept and proper and come in there to take his butt chewing. Some really cool memories there, though. Aaron in the 615. Bill, I know you and Fulmer don't get along, but I would love to hear you interview him. That would be must-listen radio. Before Crazy Charlie left, around, and this is before 2020, so I'm thinking 2018, 2019, SEC basketball tournament, we're doing the show from the Omni, but we're doing it over by Bongo Java in that hallway area. Fulmer goes into Bongo Java right in front of us to get some coffee. It's during my show. I said, Charlie, go in there. Go in there. Crazy Charlie goes in there. Crazy Charlie will approach anybody. And not that Fulmer is unapproachable. And said, hey, Bill King, your buddy's over there. You want to do a show? He wants to know if you'll come over to do the show. And Fulmer stared at him, then looked in there and stared at me. Not really a mean stare, but just kind of a, like, what? And then he said, yeah, I'll do it. Crazy Charlie comes back over to me and said, yeah, he's going to come over and do the show. I'm going, oh, man, this is going to be good. And he just walked down the hall and left. You know what? If he was on this show, it wouldn't be contentious. I wouldn't say, hey, Philip, I got these various times where you really tick me off. And you completely lied about this or that. I wouldn't do that. I would not have him on and ambush him. It wouldn't be like that. Now unless he wanted to. Now if he wanted to go there, oh God, we would go there in a second. But I would not. That would be no. I wouldn't do that. Now if somebody said, hey, Fulmer says he's going to come on, and you can air anything out you want, and he wants to be able to reply. That would be cool, but that's not going to happen in 100 million years. That's not going to happen. But Philip is Philip's a pretty good guy. It's just we did not do well. Topwater Assassin. Bill, that's when I first found you. I remember Garcia standing you up 2 weeks in a row and you saying you were done with him. I think that's true. And I sincerely felt bad, even though I did nothing wrong. I just felt bad for saying that, you know, I'm done with him, which we were. But I kind of felt bad. I did. He'd send me pictures. Steven Garcia would text me pictures of him, like, working in the yard at wherever he was in Tampa. He'd be working like in cut-off jorts, no shirt, long hair, kind of sloppy. Steven Garcia is a big boy, about 6'2", 6'3", 230. And he would just send me a picture just to show what kind of free, you know, renegade he is. Like, hey, Bill, look at me. And he was holding a shovel or something. Look, folks, I like Steve Garcia. All right, we are on the road. Jeff, too, just sent a tweet of me and Fulmer. Yeah, it was 2019, and it's us shaking hands. A rare picture. Tomorrow at the Omni, Coach Pete will be there. Angelic Jones, Ole Miss Evie. No Kevin Hagan. Brad, hour 3. Lash Bob.